I'd just like to say at the beginning here, my new sister Joyce's cousin Gladys, Sister Foster, was a true example of the believers. She was a true soldier. She suffered many of the last years of her life with cancer, probably bone. And she was in pain all the time. When I would visit with her in service, we would talk. She didn't complain. She didn't even point to herself of what her problems were. But she always let it be known that she loved the Lord. And I was very impressed with Sister Gladys Foster. She was a good old soldier. I have no doubt in my mind this morning that she made heaven her home. And I know that's what every one of us have a desire to do. As it was said in the prayer, we're all coming down to that point at some time or other. And we surely want to see the Lord in peace, don't we? We want to make heaven our home. Desire your prayers this morning. Have a burden. I was encouraged years ago in my younger years in the ministry to encourage the saints. And I do want to encourage the saints. But one of the ways that the Lord has given me to go about encouraging the saints is to challenge them. When I look at the time that we're living in today, I'm challenged to realize that there is an enemy that will do whatever he can to try to destroy us. I was thinking about a time in my work life. Most of you know I was a millwright. One day when I went to work, they asked me to go up on a bridge, on the top of a bridge crane. It was two stories up in the air. They wanted me to inspect the rails and the trundles that ran on the rails to make sure that the bearings and everything were proper. So here I was, and I never was a fan of heights. But I was two stories up in the air, walking along the rail. It was probably about 12 inches wide. Looking down, I had no harness. That was before the days of OSHA. No harness, no net or anything to stop my fall except the floor. But anyway, we got through that. We got it inspected and did what we were sent up there to do. But I thought how dangerous it was. And thank the Lord I never had to do that again, just that one time. But it was impressive enough for me to remember that experience. But I'm thinking this morning about how dangerous the time is that I'm living in. Yes. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous time. And I would like to talk for just a little bit by the help of the Lord. Pray for us that we'll get through this expediently. God has a plan for the end time. He's had a plan for all times. He has a plan in the end time. And as long as you and I stay within that plan, follow the plan that God has set down for us, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. As long as we stay in the plan, we'll be in a safe place. Even with danger all around us, even with trouble all around us, we'll be in a dangerous place. I mean, we'll be in a safe place. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I take courage and I take hope. I thank Jesus for my salvation today, for the hope that I have in Christ. But nevertheless, I consider myself a realist. And the reality of it is I live in a dangerous world. Not only dangerous physically, But I'm more interested this morning in the dangers spiritually. The dangers that we face spiritually. The values of this country is shifting every day. They're changing. They're not the same values there was when I was a young boy growing up. And we live in this world, and those values, whether we realize it or not, have an effect on us. We need to be aware of the effect that the values of this world today, the effect that they have on you and I. There's change. We can always count on change. But let's you and I, as endeavoring to know and follow the Lord, never change our stand.
Yes,
amen. Never change our direction, but keeping our eyes on the Lord and on the goal and standing by the truth of God's Word. If we fail to hold the truth the proper way, or the Word of God, things can become very common to us. And we don't want this to become just a common thing. We don't want it to be something that we just take for granted. But we want to be very aware of our surroundings. We want to be very aware of how we face God every day. When we get up in the morning and we have our morning devotions and our prayers to God, we want to be very careful how we come to that throne of grace. That we come in such a way that He will reach out His scepter to you and I to hear what we have to say. Nothing encourages a pastor any more than to hear that his people, his little flock, when they pray and they have needs, that God hears and answers their prayers. I am so thankful to hear that, and I've already heard some of that today. And it just makes me swell up within inside and knowing that God is answering your prayers. And I pray that God will answer your prayers. Because we all need to be able to get a hold of the Lord. If we don't hold the Word of God the proper way, it can lose its true value. And we'll just take it for granted. I'd like to look at a scripture. It's very familiar. But it's found in the book of Amos, the 8th chapter. And I want to read just a few verses leading up to our text this morning. And I want to begin in Amos 8 and 7. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Now, I hesitate right there. I want us to realize the Lord doesn't forget anything. The only thing that He promised to forget is our sins. When we come to Him and we're filled with the Spirit of Christ and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, He casts those into the sea of forgetfulness, He said. But He says, I will never forget thy works. And folks, we didn't just get where we are overnight. This country didn't get in the shape it's in just overnight. There have been many things that have developed to bring us down to the place that we are today. Many things. He said, I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this? And everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up holy as a flood? And it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. I will turn your feasts into mourning, all your songs into lamentation. I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. Now that to me is a very dark picture. But God said He would do those things because He will never forget any of the works of their people. Now this message was to His people. It was to Israel, backsliding Israel. But he went on to say this, "Behold, the days come." And I want us to consider that this morning. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." You know, it makes me, it just came to my mind something Brother Austis Wilson said years ago. He was talking about the rich young man that was going to tear down his barns and build greater barns. And he said, God called him a fool. And Brother Austis said, when God calls you a fool, you're a fool. When God sets his mind in order to do something, he's going to do it, and there's no man that can stop it. There's no enemy can stop it when God sets his mind and heart to do something. And he said, they will wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the west. They'll run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. As I look upon where we are today, I see an atmosphere of powers and principalities that the Word of God speaks of around us that would cause us, if we're not careful, to lose our vision, to lose our sincerity of holiness. Folks, there's very few people even understand what holiness is, what true holiness is, and very few that will embrace it. But the Word of God embraces it, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what the sign of the time is around us today. Doesn't matter what other people are saying. God has told us to embrace. He challenges us in His Word to embrace holiness and godliness and righteousness in our lives today. In this life, in this time, we are to do those things. God has given us many things, folks, that we are able to come as we are here today to enjoy our fellowship and our worship to Him as a church. Now I see, maybe you won't agree with this, but I see myself, I'll put it that way, I'll just lay it on myself. I'm in survivor mode. I'm in survival mode. By the grace of God, by His help and strength, I'm going to get through this. Because when I draw my last breath, I want to see God face to face with that peace the sister talked about in prayer. So I'm in survival mode. I've got to do whatever it takes in order for me to be faithful to my conscience and to my consecration and to my relationship with God. I've got to do everything I can to be faithful. But I need God's help to do it, don't I? I need His grace to do it. The days come, and I believe the days are here. Not that there wouldn't be the Word of God, not that it wouldn't go forth, but he said a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. I think of a scripture over in the book of Hosea where God said through that prophet, he said, when they were increased, so they sinned against me. Folks, God has blessed this nation, our people, for years and years and years. We have been a country that has been founded over 240 or 45 years ago. Maybe more than that. And God has blessed us. But when we begin to do the things that we've been doing for the last several years, God, and I've already spoken about this, God withdrawing His hand or His umbrella of covering and mercy upon this nation Folks, we're in trouble and there's a famine today. When's the last time when you went out and met someone? Now I'm talking about outside of the church. And found someone that really wanted to sit down and discuss the Word of God with you. When have you found someone that really wants to talk about the Bible? That really wants to know what the truth? I believe there's still some that are hungering and thirsting. Don't get me wrong. But when's the last time that you found people want to talk about the weather, they want to talk about sports, they want to talk about entertainment, they want to talk about the things of the world? Let me say something right there. Folks, if we make a claim, this may be a little strong, but it's true. If we make a claim to be saved, and we have not separated ourselves from the world, we're deceiving no one but ourselves. If we say we're saved, and we have not separated ourselves from the world, yes, we're in the world, and we have to partake of things that are in the world, but I'm talking about a love of the world and a desire of the world. And if we haven't separated ourselves from that, we are deceiving our own heart. That's what we're doing. But I have something encouraging here, and I want us all to remember this. The government is on his shoulders. Remember, God has a way to take care of His church, His people, in the end times. And I don't think it's too early for God's ministers to cry out and warn the people, it's end times. We need to be on our guard. We need to be watchful. We need to be very careful. And above all, prayerful for all the many things that we see around us. The government is on his shoulders. And saying that, that's talking about the government of the church, isn't it? But I want to tell you something else. I can take that a step farther. The government of this country is on his shoulders. You know that? His plan and purpose cannot be hindered and overruled by man. That's what I mean. Man cannot change his plan. He cannot overrule it. God has designed a way. Jesus talks about it in Matthew and in other places of how that this whole world is going to be brought to an end. Peter speaks of it over in the third chapter of 2 Peter of the things that are going to happen. But yet he said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. That's all we got to do. Seems so simple to us, doesn't it? But it's so hard for people to do. To humble themselves and come to repentance. So I want you to remember the government's on his shoulders. Man cannot overrule God's plan. They're falling right into it is what they're doing. They're following right into the plan that God has to bring this all about. And I want you to remember this. Just like the Lord told Paul, His grace is still sufficient. We need to lean on the grace of God. The grace of God that brought salvation to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteous and godly in the world to come, right here in this present world. Well, how can you say that you can do that? Well, we can't, can we? But by the grace of God. It said the grace of God has brought salvation to you and I. It's the grace of God, folks, that's going to get you and I through the famine years. The famine time. And I'm so thankful this morning that God has a plan. He has a way to take care of His people. He has a way to sustain you and I, to give us the grace, the strength, the courage, the boldness that we need to stand true and faithful. I asked a question here Wednesday night. Some of you were not here. I said, where's the line drawn when you and I are visiting with someone and we draw back at telling them the truth because we don't want to hurt their feelings, or that we stand for what we believe to be true. Folks, I want to tell you something. The Lord said, you deny me, and I'll deny you. We cannot afford to cave in to the pressures today. The agendas of those people that are around us today, the values that have deteriorated around us today, we can't cave into that. We can't bow down to that, but we've got to be like the three Hebrew children. We've got to stand tall. When everybody's bound down to the idols, everybody's given in to Baal, and everybody's going along with the tide, we've got to stand tall. Lord, help us to be faithful. I don't stand here and tell you this morning this is all easy. It's going to be a piece of cake. You're not going to have your trials and your persecutions and your troubles. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you that you have a responsibility to your soul. We have a responsibility to our souls. I've got a very little bit of money, so that's really not of great value to me. But my great value lies in my soul. That's the most valuable possession I have, is my soul. Now think about that. When I consider some of these things, the days will come. And people are got plenty to eat, plenty to drink. Oh, I hear there's people in our country that don't have any food. But the nation as a whole, folks, we have overabundance. Most people. That's not the problem, is it? The Lord said the famine would be of hearing. How bad do you want to hear it? I had someone tell me one time that heard me preach for several years. They told me that I like to step on people's toes. I'm not interested in people's toes. I'm interested in people's hearts. I'm interested in people's souls, folks. I've been around the bedside of enough people that's went out of this world to know and understand how valuable it is to know God and have Him as your personal Savior when you're drawing your last breath. I know how important that is. It is to me. It's of utmost importance to me. Now I want to tell you something. I want to talk about someone for a little bit. And I want to predicate what I'm getting ready to speak about on this little note. I'm not here. I'm not interested. And I have no desire to elevate man. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not here to elevate anyone. But I want to tell you something that God has done. He's always done it, but He's still done it for this, has done it for this end time. And that is that He has put ministers in the body. I want to talk about the ministers for a little bit, if you'll indulge me. God has done it. Not one of us can stand up and make a decision of our own and say, well, I think I want to be a minister. God does that. It's divine. It's His choice. According as it pleases Him. But He has put ministers in the body, and they've been put there to plant, to build, to encourage, to support, and to warn. They have a purpose. I want to say a few things about them. We're living in a time when a shadow... We'll get back to our scripture. We're living in a time when a shadow is being cast on our ministers. The true message is not popular today. It's not popular. I've said this many times. I would love nothing better. And I've told the Lord to get in the pulpit and preach about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the goodness of God, and all the good, wonderful things that tickle our ears and makes us feel good. And it's all there. But folks, I've noticed one thing down through life. When man does not have adversity in his life, he begins to be at ease. He begins to be at ease. Because adversity will cause a man to work and to labor and to be strong. I'd like to look at a scripture. You probably know them all. But I'd like to read this one in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. First verse, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." You know, I don't know about all of them. I can't speak for the rest of the ministry. But my heart burden is that as long as the Lord gives me breath and desires to use me, that I'll do everything within my ability to help people see their need of God. I have nothing greater desire than to help people see that they need God. He said here, "I won't hold my peace. But I'm going to warn." Ministers, true ministers now, labor from a burden for their congregations, for the church, and especially from their burden for lost souls. That's why we labor. That's why we're up at night. I can't tell you how many nights that I've gotten up in the middle of the night and tried to go back to bed and had to get back up and go pray. Because the Lord has laid the burden so heavy. Souls are so precious. And we look at them today. They seem to have no care. They seem to have no concern. They don't want to hear what you got to say. Our own children, our own families, our own loved ones, they don't want to hear what you got to say. I'm convinced in my mind, oh, it's just me, that you can do better in helping my children than I can. Because that's just Dad talking. Folks, that hurts, doesn't it? That saddens us, doesn't it? When you have a burden and a care for souls, when you close your eyes and you see eternity before you and you see hell and you see souls going off the precipice into that burning flame, you can't go to sleep. You can't get it out of your mind. You can't get it out of your thoughts to think that souls are going to that place forever. I don't know of anything more serious than what we're doing here today in worshiping the Lord. I'm not going to turn to it, but I'm going to quote Jeremiah 3:15. "I will give you pastors," that's shepherds, "according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." I thank the Lord He's been willing to do that. Oh, the ministers, the workers, the saints that have been an influence to me down over my life. Now I can look back. Folks, when I was a young man, I got in so much trouble and the enemy come along and he was torturing me to take my own life. And I was about to do it until I called my old pastor and talked to him. And he said things to me that helped me to see and understand to know that it was just the devil trying to destroy me. I'm so challenged today by the responsibility and the duty to be faithful, as dear old Sister Foster was. Sister Foster was 90 years old. She still had a great influence on the young people. A great influence. She had lessons for them. She taught them. She worked with them. Because she realized the importance and the value of a soul. Lord, help us to do that. We should always be working to restore a soul back to God. All of us. All of us. To restore a soul back to God. The folks, when it comes to the ministers, people are bold today. I've seen it. I've experienced it, okay? They don't seem to have a problem to come against the minister if they have a difference. And all this does is bring a reproach upon the cause of God and the work of the Lord. That's what it does. The minister stands as a watchman in a watchtower. I'm going to tell you, we heard in Sunday school all the things that Paul suffered and went through. One place he said, beside all this, I have the care of the church. Beside all my personal problems, family problems, personal, but I have the care of the church. You know, like I said, I'm not here to elevate man at all. It's something that God has designed and instituted in the church. If we have a problem with the pastor, there's a good chance we're going to miss what God's trying to tell us. You know that? When I have a problem with you, you know, the scripture says a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. If you have a problem with the pastor, you're probably not going to listen to what the pastor has to say. Or it's going to have little or no effect upon you. I heard years ago, some of you remember, well, not very many probably, Brother Herschel Hargrave from Florida. He said one time, a preacher is like a mule in a thunderstorm with no place to go. He said they have strong backs and tender hearts. When I heard that years ago, I was a very young preacher. Didn't fully understand everything that he was saying, but I understand it today. Strong backs and tender hearts. Now, when I think of a mule that he talked about, when you think of a mule, he's not a glamorous creature, is he? He's not all that great to look at, but a mule has been designed for hard work. And that's what Brother Herschel was trying to get across. The ministry, folks, care for and love your souls. And God knows what He's doing. He knows how to perpetuate the church. He knows to put who, where, in any place in the church. He knows who to put there. And He's counting on them to be faithful in wherever the place is that He has put them. You say, what's this got to do with the famine? You just bear with me. In the book of Numbers, the 22nd chapter, verses 21 through 33. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time. But we have an account of a man riding on a mule. The man was Balaam. He was out of the will of God, wasn't he? He was out of God's will. And he was riding on a mule, and he was going somewhere. And there was an angel of the Lord come down and stood before the mule. And the mule stopped, and he went to the side and hit his foot against the side of a rock. You know, you might say a mule doesn't have very much sense. They're kind of dumb and stupid. In the animal world, that may be so, but not so much with a pastor mule. Sometimes, believe it or not, God shows them things that He doesn't show everybody. He showed Peter, didn't He? When Ananias and Sapphira coveted to come back and give just a little bit of their money, He showed Peter. That's just one example. Anytime, every time, that God does something like that, folks, it bears a great responsibility. Do you know that down through the years, our ministers don't really live very long? Because we carry loads and burdens that weigh us down and get to us physically. I know that to be true. I'm not looking for sympathy here either this morning. But I'm going to tell you, God's given us something to help us in these end time days. The mule crushed his foot against the wall. Sometimes we might feel like the pastor is a little harsh. He's stepping on my toes. I'm not interested in toes. I'm not interested in being harsh either. But it's how we perceive things sometimes. There may come a time, and I hope it doesn't in our case. There may come a time when someone may not be willing to hear what the minister has to say. I remember another comment that Brother Ostis made years ago. He said, if the Lord has sent you that minister and he's told you the truth, and you back up on that, you will still be responsible for the truth that that minister told you, whether you liked him or not. It's not a popularity contest. I know what a little bit about my reputation around here and among the saint, the church. I know a little bit about it. I walked in Brother Neosho's congregation and the pastor said, well, welcome, Brother Judgment. I asked him not to do that anymore. I know that. We all have to follow what the burden the Lord lays on our hearts, folks. And we carry that burden sincerely, deeply, with a concern and a love and a compassion, with a desire to show mercy to everyone that we can show mercy to. I understand that. Lord, help us to be willing to hear what the Lord has to say. If it's truth, you can investigate it. And if it's the truth, I hope you receive it. Because He said there's a time coming when there's a famine they won't hear. They won't hear the Word of God. I want to say this before I move on. Remember when Moses held up his arms and the children of Israel would prevail in the battle? But when his arms grew tired and his arms went down, the enemy prevailed in the battle, didn't he? So they sent out Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side, and they held his hands up so they could win the battle. Saints, hold our hands up. I appreciate the prayers of my little congregation here. And I need them. Because there's no one here any weaker than I am. Hold our hands up. The battle today, the warfare today, is affected by the state and the morale of the ministry. Did you know that? Our warfare is affected by the state and the morale of our ministry. It is imperative, that a minister stays humble, that a minister stays before God and is sure that in everything that he has to say to the people, that it comes from God, that it will not harm or destroy, but that it will plant and build up and encourage and challenge. My desire is to challenge. You know, when it comes to the Word of God and the ministry, some of us older ones, Brother Thomas, remember the Vietnam War. When the veterans came home, they were not properly esteemed. And they were not properly received because the cause wasn't popular. The Vietnam War was a very unpopular war. It was political. But yet the men went over, they fought, they gave their lives. They were challenged over in the swamps, in the rice paddies, in all the places that they fought over. They were challenged. And they were willing to give their lives. And when the maimed and the ones that survived came home, they were not properly esteemed. Because the people didn't like the cause that they fought for. Yet they gave the life for their country and for the freedom of this nation. The cause. Folks, we all know none of us wrote this. God wrote this. And all we're doing is trying to portray it and explain it the way the Holy Spirit lays it upon our hearts. All of us. So, this is God's cause. And the Scripture says this is a famine time. I'm asking the people to hold up the ministry. We got young ones coming on, and I thank the Lord for them. They're going to be challenged a lot more than I have. I've been challenged a lot more than the older ones that passed me years ago that I grew up with. They're going to be challenged, and they're going to need the support. I'm just throwing in my little ad here for our young people. They're going to need the support of the people. We're going to have to stand behind one another. There's a famine in the land. People don't want to hear this. Folks, have you ever stood up before someone like a minister does and tell people the truth that don't want to hear the truth? I want to tell you something. There's a force that comes right at you from the pits of hell that tries to close your mouth, that tries to shut you down. But you got to press on. You got to go forward because there's a famine. People don't want to hear it. You ever enjoy trying to tell somebody something they don't want to hear? They just turn you off, don't they? They just turn you off. Don't want to hear it. I remember a message one time years ago, good old Laronger, I've had my battles down there. When I got done was going home, and I know it was the devil because the Lord wouldn't say that to me. He says, if you're going to preach that kind of stuff, why don't you go on back to Ohio and preach it? You see, that's what we deal with. The enemy hates the truth. He does. He doesn't want people to hear it. And we're living in a time where people are going right along with it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what God has to say. But preaching is the God-ordained means to encourage folks to stand by the truth. Now let's go into a New Testament scripture. Try not to be up here a whole lot longer. The New Testament scripture in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, Paul talking to Timothy here. I didn't know if Brother Rick was going to get on down into my little message or not, but he didn't. He stayed in the third chapter. Paul said, I charge thee. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. You see, there's a charge. I believe God's charges. Do you know a man's calling is without repentance? When God calls and sends and ordains, you've got to follow that. That's your lot in life, is to follow that if you want to be faithful to your soul and to God. You got to follow that. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Most of us, most times, probably never, people don't realize the times that ministers have to, out of duty and responsibility, stand in a place where I'm standing here this morning and absolutely have burdens so heavy and so great they would rather be anywhere than here. Do you know what I'm saying? They'd rather be anywhere than here. They don't feel that they're capable. They don't feel like they can do it. Because the burden that they have, personal burden, is so heavy and the load is so great. Folks, it doesn't have anything to do about us. It has to do with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Be instant in season. Even when you don't feel like it, even when the burden's got you down so great, be instant and be faithful. Timothy, do what God told you to do. I charge you before God. And before the Lord Jesus Christ, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? I've said this, not from here maybe, but I've told people before, if I could get to heaven without ever preaching another message, that'd be the way I'd take. That'd be my choice. It isn't something that brings any glory to me. It isn't something that I have a great desire to do. Now, Brother Mark Sam said he loved to preach. Well, I've been doing it now going on 28 years, and I've never fallen in love with it yet. I appreciate the blessings that God has given me over it, but every time that I get up out of my seat, it's another time of being instant in season and sometimes out of season. People don't want to hear it. You wouldn't believe the times the devil has challenged me, not just here, but in camp meetings in different places, revivals. I've preached a lot of revivals down through the years. The devil said, they don't want to hear that, but I have to sit there and say, Lord, you gave it to me. What do you want me to do with it? Preach the word. You preach it, I'll take care of it from there. Don't try to drive it down their throats. Don't try to force it on them. Just preach it. And I'll take care of it from there. Because what did God say? My word won't return unto me void. But it will accomplish what I please. I'll take care of it. You just preach it. God has ordained it. That man preach the word. He's ordained that to encourage folks to stand to the truth, to warn people of the need of their salvation, of a Savior, before they leave this world. He said to hear, They'll heap to themselves, after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, you know, if I took a little survey here of every one of you this morning, I know this group. I know every one of you here. And I would come to you and say, do you want me to water this down? Do you want me to tell you something to make you feel good? Do you want me to change it just a little bit? And you're going to say no. No, if you have a love for my soul, you're going to tell me what God has to say. And all I know what God has to say is right here. It's in His Word. None of us want that. But the world is in that shape today. A famine. They don't want to hear it. They want teachers. I pulled out of my place where I live this morning and I come to a stop sign and this guy come down the road, so he's going ahead of me. And I followed him for a while. And we made three turns. And I'm still behind him. And he stopped there at the Methodist Church and made a turn. I said, pal, am I thinking? I said, pal, you're making one turn wrong here. You were doing real good. People having itching ears. People willing to hear. You know, I know the pastor of that church. I've seen him in social settings. I've seen him in his shorts. His hairy legs sticking out. When his congregation and visitors would come to a social gathering. I've seen that. I don't want that. You don't either. And you're not going to see it here. Thank the Lord. We're not going to see it here. Having itching ears. Oh, just tell me something to make you feel good. Folks, why would I, in good conscience and in the fear of God, tell you something that's not so, just so you'll feel good, and then I have to meet it at the day of judgment? I would have to meet that. Folks, think about the terror of the Lord. And those men out there, those so-called preachers, that are going to have to meet what they're telling those folks at the judgment. I don't want to be in their shoes. I don't want to be in their place. I'd rather just quit preaching than be in that place and not tell the truth to the hearts of men and women. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. We heard that this morning. The husband that laboreth, Paul said, is first partaker. Had my afflictions, had my pain and suffering, and probably have more. But he said, watch thou and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. Timothy was to fully discharge his evangelistic ministry by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said when he came before him there in Corinth. I come to you not claiming to know anything but Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the message. And Him crucified. That's the message. It's still the message. It's not old-fashioned. It's not irrelevant. It's very relevant of our time. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Timothy, be instant. Oh, I know you got your own battles. I know you got your own struggles. You don't feel like it. Be instant anyway. Because you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for God. You're doing it for the cause of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here this morning? I hope you do. I want to look at one more scripture. I hope the Lord can tie this in, because He laid it on our hearts. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Remember Amos, the days come when they don't want to hear the word of God. Paul's saying here, he's talking about shaken, being shaken in mind, being full of anxiety or pain because of the things that are coming upon us today. Don't let the devil. Folks, you know, it's kind of a process the way the devil comes in. When you get disparaging news, when you get news that or something has happened in your life, something's come across your path, and the first thing that comes along, the enemy comes along, and he paints this dark picture, and he tells you you need to do this, and he tells you you need to do that, and he tells you how to do all this and that, and the next thing you know, you're all depressed, and you're all down because it's all darkness and gloom. You know what I'm talking about. It's a process that you and I go through. Don't be shaken in those things. Folks, you just keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep walking in the light. You keep your stand right where you've been all that time. And God's going to come along. When the Spirit of the Lord, when the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will come in and raise up a standard. You know what I'm talking about. We talk about our battles and our trials and how God's given us the victory, but what did you go through to get that victory? We go through a process, seems like every time. The enemy comes along and does his little thing. And we're gloomy for a while. We don't know what to do for a while. But when you don't know what to do, you don't do anything, do you? You stay right there where God has you until he makes the way plain, makes the way clear of what he wants you to do. So he said here, don't be soon shaken in mind. We're troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Folks, the Lord was speaking to us, I believe it's the 10th chapter of John, talking about the good shepherd. There's shepherds and then there's good shepherd. And the Lord has shepherds to watch over his flocks, doesn't he? But he said here, let no man deceive you by any means. What he's talking about here, except there come a falling away first. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now folks, we're living in a falling away time. What causes folks to fall away? It's persecution. You think you've been persecuted? You want to talk to some of those folks over there in the Middle East that's named the name of Christ? You want to talk to them? Let them tell you what persecution really is. A falling away. And then he said, let no man deceive you. I started to talk about the 10th chapter of John where Jesus was talking about the good shepherd. And then he said down in there somewhere, he said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let me tell you, you might think that's talking about the devil. In a sense it is. But he's talking about false teachers. He's talking about false shepherds. They come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The Bible, Paul tells us in, I believe it's Philippians, the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light and come along and deceive souls. Dangerous times. I told you at the beginning, it's dangerous times. It's a lot more dangerous than walking two stories up on a little I-beam, looking down, hoping and praying you don't fall. It's a lot more dangerous than that. He said that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who's the man of sin? You know, some might contend, and maybe it is talking a little bit about the man that sits on the throne over there in Rome. Lilt's talking a little bit about that. I understand that. But you know who the real man of sin is? It's that carnal man that every one of us was born with. When it begins to be revealed and it begins to act out and it begins to show itself, we need to get a handle on it. Because folks, as sure as you live here, you're going to face temptations and worldliness and moral lapse and unbelief and all those kinds of things. And then he said, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who's the son of perdition? Remember Jesus said, I've over there in the 17th chapter of John, I've kept every one of them in your name. Except who? The son of perdition. The son of destruction. That's what perdition means. Destruction. People that destroy themselves and others. The devil using them not only to destroy. Judas destroyed himself, didn't he? He listened to what the devil told him to do. And he destroyed himself. Folks, given time, those kind of people will destroy you. You see, people are like little children, in a sense. Little children don't understand what's really good for them. And that's why God gave them parents. Sometimes when the little child gets all flustered and aggravated and tired and weary, what it really needs is a nap. But the little child many times will fight that nap. But that's what they really need. Folks, the world, look at our world around us today. We know what they really need, don't we? We know what they really need. They don't want it. They won't come to it. They won't accept it. But I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. And I'm a Christian. Folks, there's a lot of people that are filling the pews today that have the devil right there with them. The son of perdition. The carnality that they have in their hearts against God and against the truth. Listen at this dangerous time. We face either a total abandonment of Christianity itself, or such a corruption of its doctrines that renders the whole system of Christianity inefficient to salvation. Did you get that? There's such a corruption of what is truth that it renders the whole system of salvation completely inefficient to save a soul. What is being promoted and put out there across our land today, there's not enough of grace of God there to save a soul in what those men and women are saying. Not enough grace there. It's inefficient to salvation. Would you call that a famine? I'd call it a famine. Famine of hunger. Realize they don't realize what they really need. But they're really hungry. Let me read on here. Who opposeth, verse 4, and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. As I said, that's probably, if I can just simplify it, talking a little bit about Catholicism. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time, in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who will now letteth, who now letteth, will let until he be taken out of the way. God's allowing some things, isn't he? He's going to allow some things until he comes back for the final judgment. He's allowing things. Things that are in the process and in the works of deceiving souls. But he's going to allow it. You see, you all have a will. And I have a will. And with that will, I have choice to choose what I want to believe and what I want to receive as truth. I have a choice to do that. I'm thankful for everyone that's chosen the truth and accepted the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. Then, verse 8, shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's a lot there in those, but I'm trying to get on to another verse. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 12, I'm going to skip on down. Well, I only have one more. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. When God sends it, you're deceived. No man can change that. You can't change it. When God sends delusion, when you don't develop and carry a love for the truth and embrace the truth in your heart and in your life, and God sends delusion, you're deluded. You'll believe anything that someone tells you. You'll follow after dreams. You'll follow after fables. Paul said, be careful for fables and genealogies and those kind of things. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, can we say today that truth is still being proclaimed? I believe it is. Truth is still being preached. But if you don't hear, and you take pleasure in unrighteousness, he said, or the world, and the things of self, you're going to be damned. It's going to cost you your soul. It's serious, isn't it? Very serious thing. We cannot afford, saints, and I'm winding up here, we cannot afford to spend all of our time discussing the church and allow the proclaiming of the cross of Christ to suffer. I've seen it. I've lived in my time to see what happens when we are focused as a people on the church and the cross of Christ suffers. I've seen it. Now I know what caused it, and I know how the enemy got involved in it. I know, I understand all that. We cannot afford to allow the cross of Christ to suffer. Even in this unpopular time, with the unpopular truth, folks, we must proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ. We must proclaim it. We must tell the people. We must warn the people. You say, well, Brother Larry, you're preaching to the choir. I probably am. But if you don't get anything else out of this morning, I want you to understand there's danger out there. Yes, that's right. you be on your guard. And you be aware of that danger. A famine in the land. This famine is the most grievous of all famines. No prophet will appear. No spiritual counselor. Think about this. No faithful reprover. What would we do today if we didn't have that? No one to point out the way of salvation. Desolate, isn't it? Desolate. Folks, we're in desolate times. We really are. This famine is the severest of God's judgments on this side of eternity. It's the severest of His judgments when He withdraws Himself. You know that scripture over there in 2 Chronicles 36 where He said, I sent prophets time after time. Tell the people. The people killed my prophets. The people did this to them. They did that to them. They laughed at them. They mocked them. It said, till they come to where there was no remedy, no healing. I couldn't do anything for them. God will not override your will. He'll not override your conscience. It's up to you and I, everyone individually, how we perceive God, how we respect God, how we receive God. But I'll tell you this much. When you pray, you can do this as I do it. Lord, help me to never lose the fear of God upon my heart. Never, never lose the fear of God. Never lose the respect and the fear of God's Word upon my heart. Lord, help us everyone to be faithful, to be true. Believe it or not, I have a song. And I'm not going to dishonor you by trying to sing it. It's called The Church's Jubilee. I want to read some of this. Number 6, the light of eventide now shines, the darkness to dispel. The glories of fair Zion state, 10,000 voices tell. For out of Babel God doth call His scattered saints in one, together all one church compose, the body of His Son. Folks, in these end times, the Scripture is still relevant. Come out from among them, my people. That's still the message. Come out from among them. We can say, well, He has others which are not of this fold. Folks, I'm willing to let God deal with that. I'm willing to give that over to His wisdom and to His understanding. But I want to say that the message, when God has made the Word of Truth completely clear to our hearts, is to come out from among them. Together, all one church composed the body of His Son. The Bible is our rule of faith. And Christ alone is Lord. All we are equal in His sight when we obey His Word. No earthly master do we know. To man rule will not bow. But to each other and to God, eternal trueness vow. No man rule in the church of God, folks. No man rule. But we do have a ruler. He's the Holy Spirit. And the government's on His shoulders, isn't it? I'm so thankful for that today. Little something, a little reminder this morning, let us be aware of our surroundings. Let's be aware of what we're going on. I mean, what's going on. Sometimes we say, well, I don't understand why that happened. Stop and think about it. Yes, you do. Yes, you understand why that happened. I don't understand why people think like that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I heard something like what Brother Clint was mentioning the other day on the radio. Fellow was questioning a man, very liberal man evidently. He said, "You got a 9-year-old daughter?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have any problem with your 9-year-old daughter in the locker room taking a shower and a 12-year-old boy standing next to her taking his shower? I don't have any problem with that." You see where we are today, folks? Sodom and Gomorrah. You better be aware of your surroundings. You say, "Well, I don't understand why somebody..." I looked at my wife and said, "Man, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad." Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the saints, for the church of God. I appreciate it this morning. Thank you for your time and attention.